Praise the Lord. You know, I want to just talk to you about some things tonight. You know, as we go about our daily activities, jobs, school, kids, all kinds of stuff, you know, we have challenges. And sometimes you wonder how you're going to handle them. Anybody ever been there besides me? Well, I got a few people that have. I want to pat you other people on the back because y'all haven't had any challenges. So praise the Lord. I'm glad y'all didn't. No, we all face difficulties, don't we? We're at various times and challenges. And, you know, we need to know what God's word tells us. You know, we need to know what God's willing to do for us. And we need to know how to believe correctly concerning your situation. You know, I grew up with a man by the name of Kenneth Hagin. Some people know who he is, is my father. And I would tell, people would come and talk to him, and I would hear him say this all the time. Find in the scripture that deals with whatever you need, finances, healing, protection, whatever. He said, find it in the scripture, and then you'll know how to believe. You know, Isaiah 41:13, most of you know it. I'm going to read it to you from the Living and also from the Message Bible. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I'm watching on the front down here and seeing people. Some people are finding it on their iPads and their phones, and some got the hard copy and holding in their hand the Bible in their hand, the real hard Bible in their hand. It says, "For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, do not be afraid. I'm here to help you." The Message says it like this: "I, your God, have a firm grip on you. I'm not letting go. I am telling you, don't panic. I am here to help you." Now, this gives us a clear picture that God wants to take care of us. You know, some people believe in God, but they don't know where he is. He's way up there somewhere. You know, they believe there's a God that created everything and he's in heaven, but he's not personally involved with us. Well, I guess if you want to believe that, you've got to take this verse out of the Bible. Hello? Because it said he's taking hold of our hand, isn't it? You know, a little story. A surgeon was walking through a large hospital, and he saw a little girl with her eyes were bandaged up, and in distress, she was waving her hand all about, and he went up to her and grasped that outstretched hand, and instantly there was a change. The little girl was comforted and become restful and contented. You know, that can be a picture of us when we're going through a difficult time and we got dread and fear of the future, and we yearn for somebody to reach out and touch us. Well, there's God. He's holding out his hand to grasp your hand. But he's just not going to come in and grab. You got to reach up and say, "All right, Lord, I need your help." He said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to help," in the scripture that we read. You know, in the midst of all of our situations, all of our circumstances, our trials, our tribulations, we know that we can hold on to God. You know, there is another story that goes that there was a man dying. In fact, he was at death's door. But the problem was he had professed to be an atheist throughout his life. And another atheist friend heard that he was about to die. And he became fearful that if, as the man approached death, he would send for a minister and turn to God. So he hastened over to where the man lived. And he came up to his bedside. And he said, "Now then, man, just hold on," he said. But the dying man replied to him, "It's all right to ask me to hold on, but man, I have nothing to hold on to." That says it pretty good, doesn't it? It said, you know, it's written there. I read it. I'm going to read it again. "For I hold you by your right hand. I am the Lord your God. And I say, don't be afraid. I'm here to help." You know, another little story that I'm going to recite here. A man was laying in the hospital waiting operation for his appendix. And he was a Christian, but the operation was troubling him, and he was in fear. And finally, as he was being wheeled to the operating room, a nurse noticed that he was fearful and said to him, "When you're on the operating table, look at the wall and you'll see a message that will comfort you." As he lay on the operating table before they put him out, he saw a plaque on the wall. And this is what it said: "For I hold you by your right hand. I'm the Lord your God. And I say to you, do not be afraid. I'm here to help you." He said that comforted him and gave him peace. You know, many times, if you just go to the Word when you're in trouble, when you're troubled and distressed, and start reading the Word, it settles everything down. I know all the years that I have been in the ministry now, 61 years, and I've done several funerals or memorial services. Used to they call them funeral, now it's memorial services, and I like that better. But I have always noticed that when I'm doing the service and the family is distraught, when I start reading scripture, it changes. Anybody else ever notice that? Or been there as one of the family members? Huh? Anybody? The Word of God will give you the peace and comfort. You know. Now, I want to talk to you for just a moment. If you don't know what that was, that's called an introduction. What is the significance of God's hand reaching down to us? Well, God's hand brings salvation. Psalms 18:16 in the New Living Translation says, "He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters." What a graphic picture that is from the Psalms of someone that's in need of salvation. Though we can be sinking in the midst of sin and swirling in the waters of fear and sin with no firm ground to stand on, yet the hand of the Lord will reach down and pull you out. Now, let's look in Peter's life in Matthew 14. Matthew 14, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. I read from that sometimes because it gives a little clearer picture. Now, you can't take everything from the New Living because it leaves some stuff out or says it a little differently, but some of it is, that's why I like to read from, I read from three or four or five different translations, and because as you read it, you read different, how it says it in different translation, you begin to get a better understanding of what the scripture really means. Because many of the Greek words carried with them different, they carried with them different connotations depending on how they were using the word. We have one word that we do that with all the time, and it's L-O-V-E. It depends on how we're using it is the connotation that goes with it. We love our wife, we love our kids, we love candy, we love our cars, we love this, we love that. But each one carries with it a different meaning, right? Although it's the same word. Okay. Y'all all found it, I'm sure, by now. If you hadn't, I'll send Brother Bill to help you. Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you and walk on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to seek, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Immediately Jesus reached out and grabbed him. Of course, that would be with his hand. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Here we see Peter's walking on the water, and he began to sink, and he hollered, "Save me," and the Lord reached out. It said he reached out to him. He didn't say with his hand, but how are you going to reach out if you don't reach with your hand? Hello? He had to stretch out his hand to catch a hold of Peter's hand and lift him up. This is a picture of salvation for all mankind. God reached down his divine hand and saved you. I had three amens. I believe there's a lot more of you than three that the Lord has reached down and grabbed your hand and pulled you out of the miry, sinful world you were in. Amen. You know, in Acts 11, 20 and 21, in the NIV, New International Version. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. There's the hand of the Lord in salvation. The hand of the Lord provides salvation. God's hand provides protection. You know, we quote that scripture in Isaiah all the time about, he'll hold our hand. And there are many, many places in the Word of God talks about God's hand. But do we ever stop to think about it? The hand of the Lord provides salvation. The hand of the Lord provides protection. John 10, 28. In the New King James, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." The NIV says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." The Message Bible says, "I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them out of my hand." And there's a glorious thought, man. We don't have to be frightened. Nobody can take you away from God but you yourself. We know the devil comes steal, kill, and destroy. But he can't steal, kill, or destroy you unless you take yourself out of the protecting hand of God. You know, God said his hand would keep us safe. Now, look at throughout the history of the Israelites, they had the testimony of God protecting them. When they were up against armies that were 1,000 times more greater than they were, when they were up against all kinds of circumstances, when they were up against impossible situations, the hand of the Lord protected them. Look at, in the history of the Israelites. Now look at Ezra 8:31. Then we departed from the river of Abba on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, from ambushes along the road. This should be all of our testimony. The gracious hand of God has protected us and is saving us from the enemies and anything else that comes against us. Say it with me. The hand of the Lord provides protection. You know, you know me. You've heard me say it many times. The minute I hear that there is severe weather coming, I start saying, you know, the campus is protected. Every building at Rhema is protected. My house is protected. My kids' houses are protected. All of my family, my son, my daughter, my grandkids, my dogs are all protected. See, I have a right to do that according to the word of God, because he said he would protect us. And then I say, and Lynette will tell you, I say, and I agree with all of the church people for the protection of their house and their families. And then you need to agree with me for protection of this church, because this is your church. It's not my church. It's your, this is our church underneath God. In fact, we were up in Branson one time, and we got the report that there was, because she's got it on her phone where it come, and it said, well, we immediately started, we wasn't in any danger. We were up there. It wasn't up there. But it was down here, so we immediately started taking that. See, the hand of the Lord will protect you, but you got to call on him. God's hand provides encouragement. Look at Ezra 7:27. I hope y'all getting something out of this. You know, I thinking about this, you know, we a lot of times people talk about the hand of the Lord, but do we ever think about what the hand of the Lord provides? Hello? Praise the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who made the king want to beautify the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And praise him for demonstrating such unfailing love to me by honoring me before the king, his council, and all his mighty nobles. I felt encouraged because the gracious hand of the Lord, my God, was on me. And I gathered some of the leaders of Israel to return to Jerusalem, or to return with me to Jerusalem. Here, Ezra is saying that he's before the king. This king that's an idol worshiper, because Israel was captive in a foreign land. But he said, Ezra saying, I was encouraged because the hand of the Lord was on me. And the hand of the Lord was on him. And because the hand of the Lord was on him, what Ezra said moved on that king that was an idol worshiper to allow them, because Jerusalem and the temple had gone into ruins. He allowed Ezra and a group to go back to rebuild the temple. But not only that, he gave them the resources to do so. The hand of the Lord was on him. See, it's encouraging to know that the hand of the Lord will be upon you to encourage you in every situation you're standing in. But you got to call on him. My dad used to say it like this. The Holy Spirit and God and Jesus, they're all gentlemen. They don't kick the door down. The devil kicks the door down. They have to be invited in. Anybody ever heard him say that? Yeah, I say several of you have heard him say it. I heard him say it more than once. Do y'all realize between 1939, when I was born, to to 2003 when he went on to be the Lord, can you imagine how many sermons I've heard him preach? Because I was born on a Sunday and I was in his church the next Sunday morning and he preached. Now, I might not remember that one. But when I was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old and traveling out preaching, he only pastored 4 churches. One of them was before I was born. But he would travel and be in the traveling ministry in between. And so I would say, you know, I'm 3, 4, 5 years old. Dad, what are you going to preach tonight? He'd say, I don't know. He said, well, I'd tell him, I said, preach the owl sermon. I like that one. He said, oh, son, I don't know. I said, well, then preach, loose him and let him go. He said, I preach that close enough here. Some of these people probably were visiting and heard that one. I said, well, then preach turning old Tom loose. Now, that was three of his sermons. I can tell you. That was three of his sermons. Tell you a little funny. Now, you know, we preaching in little small churches, you know, and they might hold probably the biggest one, hold 200 people. Back in that day, if you had a Pentecostal church that was 200, man, it was a mega church. Okay? That Al sermon, I don't know. He perched up on the... He got up on the choir, one of the pews in the choir. He got up on it and was perched up there preaching. And he said something about, you know, a lot of church members like a bunch of owls. Just saying, hoo, 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 hoo. And he fell off. And I learned from him, that's why nothing ever bothered me. Because he just rolled over and kept preaching and never missed a beat. Somebody said, they've seen me, the different things start happening. I just keep going, nothing bothers me. I said, well, I learned from the best. The hand of the Lord will provide encouragement for you. If you'll ask him, the hand of the Lord will provide victory. Look at Joshua 4:20. I'm reading this from the NLT. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up 12 stones taken from Jordan River. Then Joshua said to Israelites, in the future your children shall ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord dried up the river before your eyes, and he kept it dry until we all had crossed, just as he did at the Red Sea. He did this so that all nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, so you might fear the Lord your God forever. God's hand gives victory. He's right, isn't what he said. He did this so that all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful. Man, when you stand up and let the hand of the Lord minister in your life, it ministers to other people. Y'all there, y'all going home already. God's hand will help you to have victory over, I don't care what the situation is. I don't care if your back's against the wall and there's no way out. God's mighty hand can bring you out. And if you've ever taken American history, I don't know, I guess they still teach it. I don't know. They taught it to me anyway. During the Revolutionary War, there was one of our commanders of one of the ships was named John Paul Jones. Y'all ever heard of that John Paul Jones? Well, he was engaged with one of the English ships, and it looked like that John Paul's ship was about to go under. So the English commander asked John Paul Jones if he was ready to give up. John Paul Jones said, I've not yet begun to fight. And he went on and won the battle. That's what it's like with God. It may look like we've lost the battle, but with God, he said, I'm just beginning to fight. Come on now. The hand of the Lord will provide victory. God's hand will provide you strength. Turn to Psalms 118:15. Psalms 118:15. I'm giving y'all a chance to really turn in your Bibles tonight, ain't I? Aren't I, should say, I guess. But I'm from Texas, so that's what we say where I'm from. I think they say that up here in Oklahoma, too. But for all of you other people, Psalms 118:15. Everybody got it? Let's see. Okay. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. In that first scripture we read, it says that he had that his right hand, you know, the strong right arm. Well, let me tell you what. If you got an arm, there's a hand at the end of it. The message says, reads like this. Hear the shouts. Hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. You see, David said in 1829 of the Psalms, in your strength, I can crush an army. With God, I can scale any wall. Another person said, within the grasp of the divine hand comes an impartation of divine strength. How many of you got a hold of the hand of God? Then if you got a hold of the hand of God, you have an impartation of divine strength. You know, if you run out of your own strength, you got the strength of God. It says that you'll run and not be weary. Why? Because you're holding on to the strength of the Lord. You see, now I got my iPhone right here, and I got about, it says I got about a half of a, maybe a little less than half of a battery left. But I can get my cord and go right back here and plug it in too. And plug it in, even though there's just a half charge here, I can keep operating because I'm plugged in to the source of power. That's why when you got to hold the hand of God, you can keep going, because you're not operating in your strength. You're operating in the strength of the source of power. The hand of the Lord provides strength. You know, let's go back through those. I want you to say them with me. You remember them? The hand of the Lord provides what?
Salvation.
The hand of the Lord provides protection. Okay. What's the next one? The hand of the Lord provides
encouragement.
What is the next one?
Victory.
The hand of the Lord provides victory. What is next? The hand of the Lord provides strength. We need to realize that if we will rely on the hand of the Lord, there's no defeat. There's no discouragement. Somebody said, well, but I don't know what the future holds. The same God that his hand holds the future is the same God that you're holding on to his hand. See, If you hold on to God, He'll carry you through every difficulty. He'll carry you through every situation. When everybody else says there's no way out, God said that's what they think. I am the way out. See, it's time that we lift our voice and exercise our faith and just declare what the hand of the Lord is doing for us. So everybody stand up and you declare right now what the hand of the Lord is doing for you in whatever situation you need the hand of the Lord to work in right now. I'm not even going to pray. You're going to do your own praying. Pray for yourself. Declare whatever situation you need that the hand of the Lord is working for you. Employment, finances, strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now throw both hands in the air and begin to praise God and act like it's done. Because you see, when you ask Him, He's already on the job getting it done right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. If you're in this place tonight and you need the hand of the Lord for salvation, our prayer partners are coming right now. The ladies will be over here and the men will be over here. If you need the hand of the Lord in salvation, or you need the hand of the Lord in rededicating your life to God, you know you're not just exactly where you should be, I want you to come down here and talk with them and pray, and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, you want them to pray with you about anything, they're right here. Come down and they will pray with you. Connection team, go find our first time guests and take them to get that special gift we got for them. And if you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Hey, come on and join us. We call ourselves the Rhema family. We're having a great time around here serving God unlimited. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, amen and amen. Remember all the announcements. Remember Sunday morning right here. Come believing, come expecting. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and tell them, say, I'm going to hold on the hand of God. How about you? God bless. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, salvation, rededication, healing, you need somebody to pray with you about anything, come to the front right now.